807 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Monday. Sean and Dalton. Doc's got our weather. Kane's got the forecast. Oh, and by the way, this, with some Guns N' Roses coming in the section, coming in this section of the show, it reminds me of the conversation we had from the 6 o'clock hour. We're talking about the passing of Ginger Baker from Cream and his battles with Jack Bruce over the years. Then we started talking about bands that didn't get along. We had some good ones on the text line. The whole David Lee Roth, Eddie Van Halen stuff, to more modern bands like Oasis in that mix, but Deep Purple, Fleetwood Mac was brought up. I mean, it's a lot of that. just the Ginger Baker stuff, and I should have better home training than to speak of the dead, but he's passed. He was a super talented drummer, but they said he was hard to get along with.
Yes.
I'm an autist, and, you know.
They said, like, the documentary about him was called Don't Bother Ginger Baker or something because a sign was put up outside of his home that he was tough to deal with.
Yes. And so, yeah, it started us off on that little side rant over on the text line. Classic battles royale within rock and roll groups from over the years.
Yeah, because one that comes to mind is Aerosmith. And, yeah. I mean, they've been making music now for 60 years. How long? I mean, it's been a long time. It's been near 60 years, I swear. Because they started in the 70s, right?
Maybe it is. Or maybe 60 years?
It's been a long time.
I was born at the beginning of the 70s. I'm not 60.
Let's call it 40 years.
I'm 47.
45 years. Okay, we'll split the difference. But, of course, Steven Tyler, who's been through his, you know, heyday once or twice in rock and roll and has been to rehab more times than once or twice. Mm-hmm. And then Steven Perry, I know they didn't get along often. You mentioned Oasis, Noel, and Liam Gallagher, and they still snipe back and forth at each other. But a lot of bands that, you know, they had problems with each other off stage, and I think that's probably two things, the drugs and alcohol, one, and also just the talent. I mean,
yes.
Each band member probably feels like they should be more famous than the other band members, and then when somebody's not doing what they'd like them to do, they start sniping back and forth with each other. But yeah, when you brought up Ginger Baker and his feud with, what was the bassist?
Jack Bruce.
That brought to mind, what were some of the other great feuds in rock and roll history, and also who were some of the prima donnas in rock? We were talking about some of the riders that they have backstage, and Van Halen's No Brown M&Ms policy on their rider. Also, you had Motley Crue. They had, what was it? They requested directions to the nearest Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. That's been part of their rider, which that's not so difficult. They've also requested a submachine gun, a 12-foot boa constrictor, and insisted on a particular brand of mustard backstage.
It's ridiculous. Listen, I dealt with bands for almost 20 years in rock and roll radio, and we'd even have their riders, these baby bands that would come through town. We get their riders, and most of them were pretty normal stuff. Yeah, I just want some waters and, you know, a sandwich or some fruit or whatever. But then there were some of these baby bands that would request stuff. I'm like, you're not good enough to start requesting that stuff. And, you know, there's not a green room. Sorry, you'll be in your bus out back of the venue. But yeah, it's interesting to look at the different. And so that's what kind of took me into listening to that bump music from Guns N' Roses. They, you know, that they didn't get along, and they finally figured out how to get along and make some money, and they're back out on tour. I think they're supposed to be in New Orleans the end of this month. So there you go.
Yeah, a different looking Axl Rose than he looked at the beginning of his career.
Is he? Because I saw him a few years ago in New Orleans. Everybody said he was so going to be so chunky, so fat. He wasn't that fat. He's got back.
He heard everyone talking about him. Slash was thinking ahead. You know, he with the big aviators and the top hat and the long hair. He knew that he would age.
And it's the same look, right? Yeah, it doesn't matter how old you are. You got that look. Nobody can tell. Hey, also, while we're talking about entertainment stuff, we can get to the impeachment talk. And also, I want to talk about what's going on over in North Syria in a second, hear from you. But I'm not going to pretend that I'm going to go see this movie. I'm not going to pretend. The Joker movie, though, has everybody talking, right?
Yep.
That this Joker movie that did quite well at the box office.
Really well. I think they were estimating it to earn about $80 million here in its opening weekend, and it broke out making globally $234 million this weekend. It said in 73 international territories, $140.5 million. So you subtract that, and it looks like it made nearly $100 million here in United States alone. And I think part of that was the controversy surrounding the film. So this is supposed to be a dark take on Joker. Of course, we all know Joker from the Batman
right.
series, and it kind of started, you had Nicholson.
You already had a dark take on it.
There's been several now. Nicholson was kind of the standard for mm-hmm. crazy Jokers with
right.
the Batman that was made a long time ago. But then you had Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight, mm-hmm. who kind of brought it back to the evil side mm-hmm. of Joker. We had some funny Jokers there for several decades.
Right.
And then Heath Ledger brought some seriousness back to it. And then here in the Suicide Squad, Jared Leto, you know, they said he was acting in character throughout the entire filming process and was just being annoying to everyone on set and was trying to be as dark as Heath Ledger's. But now with this new Joker film and Joaquin Phoenix, who is a notorious character actor, he's known for being, you know, insane on set of his mm-hmm. movies already.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people were worried with this movie coming out that there might be an Aurora, Colorado-style right. shooting in theaters. I think even the Los Angeles Police Department came out with a warning for people that were going to the movies. I don't know who puts those out, whether it is the police departments that start on this, but to me, that's just more press.
Yeah, it's more marketing.
More marketing to get people to go see the film.
They said, should they be allowed to make this movie because it would encourage people to, you know, you can't start controlling every telling of a story. Then we absolutely lose freedom. You don't want to go see it, don't go see it. I'm mm-hmm. not going to go see it. But
right.
if you start having the worries of the day become the measure of what the art is, mm-hmm. what kind of society do we live in? Once again, there's a lot of things that are made that aren't for me. I just don't go see them.
And people always think this is like a fresh new story and, oh, look how America's gone. We've got these movies out there that are inspiring mm-hmm. killers, but this has been happening yeah. forever now. I mean, even on the music side of things, the rapper Eminem, he had some horror-inspired songs that right. were out there, and parents were always worried about what Eminem was saying. And even this weekend, some of the movies that are in theaters right now, It Chapter 2,
yep.
the Killer Clown, you know, I know a lot of people were worried that...
You know, I don't like clowns.
I know a lot of people were worried that this would inspire clown copycats.
Remember the Flo-Mo clown?
Yeah. My favorite clown story ever. And then Rambo. There's even a new Rambo movie out there. I think that he might kill one or two people in that movie. I'm not too sure. I mean, it's called The Last Blood. It's right there in the name.
Because the first one was First Blood, right? So
right.
this is going to be the end.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, sure, it'll be the end. But, you know, there wasn't so many worries about the violence in that movie either. But this Joker movie had a lot of people worried that there would be something similar to that Aurora-style massacre that happened when The Dark Knight opened years ago.
So you had Joker number one, the abominable, I think, number two, in the movies, and mm-hmm.
Let's see, the top 10 here, you had Joker was number one this weekend. I had the list right here, and I started
thought it was
to
abominable.
Lose it here.
The animated abominable snowman. I can't say that word, by the way.
Abominable.
Yes.
Let's see here. Yeah, I lost the top 10 list.
I think it goes to abominable, and then number three, Downton Abbey the movie.
That's right. No one was worried about violence in that one.
I'm worried about the that it makes it impossible for regular dudes to do. We don't do a lot of riding horses across the English countryside and wear mm-hmm. top hats. And, you know, in the times I saw the TV show, the missus watched that. The audio, the narrative, the voices back and forth were so quiet you could barely hear them.
Mm-hmm.
But the shoes walking down hallways were, it's like they had mic'd up the shoe or something. It was the strangest thing. I'd like to invest in it, but I don't get it.
It made $8 million. This is its third weekend in theaters, so it's come up now. Cumulative $73.5 million, which surpassed their budget of $50 actually making the film because they didn't need any effects or anything. And fourth this week, you have that stripper movie, Hustlers, with Jennifer Lopez.
I might want to see that.
About them, you know, hustling their clientele.
Mm-hmm.
And then five was It Chapter 2. It's been in for five weekends now and has made $202 million. And I imagine that'll only keep rising as we get closer to Halloween.
That Hustler movie's in movie theaters now?
Yeah, in theaters now.
Okay, just checking. The matinee show? It's got J-Lo, right?
Yeah, J-Lo and
okay,
several
checking.
Other ladies.
I'm just checking for show content.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
Sure. Prepping.
We need a report tomorrow.
That's right. All right, I'll do it. We'll be right back. 21 FM Talk 106.5. Phone line, text line, 343-0106, 343-0106. Mobile Mornings on this Monday. All right, a couple things here from the, as the impeachment turns, controversy. Second whistleblower, that's the big story from over the weekend. Here's Bob Constantini with more.
And the attorney says the second whistleblower has firsthand knowledge of the call. President Trump doesn't think so, tweeting, word is they are going to the bench and another whistleblower is coming in from the deep state, also with secondhand info. The object of the president's concerns about corruption, former Vice President Joe Biden wrote an op-ed piece in the Washington Post calling Mr. Trump wholly unfit to be president. Facing House subpoenas, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who was on the phone call,
we'll obviously do all the things we're required to do by law.
For now, the administration is denying all requests and subpoenas until the full House votes for an impeachment inquiry. Bob Costantini, Washington.
All right, so there it is. Yeah, and President tweeting, IG declassified information contradicts the whistleblower. That's all in caps. He said, but why are people surprised? The partisan whistleblower was very wrong on what was said on my perfect no-pressure call with the Ukrainian president. Bring in another whistleblower from the bench. When does it reach critical mass? What they're trying to do here, obviously, is to sway Republicans. The Democrats, I've said this from the word go, they will impeach. In other words, it's going to come out of the House. I mean, the Democrats are going to impeach. What happens in the Senate? You know, you're trying to get the Mitt Romney thing and back and forth and Ben Sasse. I still think Ben Sasse he's asking questions. I don't think Ben Sasse would vote to remove President Trump. I don't think so. As much as people are angry, I think when push comes to shove, I don't think he would. But, you know, they got another whistleblower. How many people are they going to line up to come out?
Yeah, that's a good question. I know Mitt Romney's another Republican that is seen on the other side of Trump so many times. Yeah, he's kind of coming out and speaking about that. The people they've already talked to last week, the Intelligence Oversight and Foreign Affairs Committee interviewed Kurt Volker, who was a former special envoy to Ukraine. He provided those text messages we were talking about at the end of last week, and they said at least two other witnesses are set for depositions this week. You have Gordon Sondland, he was the U.S. ambassador to the European Union, and Marie Yovanovitch, who was ousted as the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine in May. And also this weekend, we saw, last week, Rick Perry resigned as the energy secretary, and this weekend apparently Trump was speaking with Republicans, and I'm not sure if he was throwing Perry under the bus here or exactly what's going on, but he said that it was Rick Perry who kind of set up that July call with the Ukrainian president. Trump did not suggest that Perry had anything to do with the investigation talk as far as investigating the Bidens, but that it was his idea to have this call taking place. Perry's spokeswoman, Shaylin Hines, said that his interest in Ukraine is part of U.S. efforts to boost Western energy ties to Eastern Europe.
Yeah, I heard a count over the weekend. I don't have it in front of me, but that when Perry set up the call, the president was supposed to call to talk about liquefied natural gas, LNG. And we have the account of the phone call. I don't think there was anything about energy in that phone call.
I'm not sure.
So I don't know if that's a Rick Perry dropping the ball or what that is on it, but it's going to be... Is the new whistleblower coming out because the first whistleblower didn't get the Democrats what they wanted, the traction? So they get the second whistleblower. We'll run this through. Then if this one doesn't get the traction, they bring it. I mean, yeah, this one's saying, and the president's saying another one off the bench. Yeah, I mean, how many will we go through?
And that's probably the right political play for the president to say, well, they couldn't get what they wanted out of that first whistleblower because it came out that his was not a firsthand account, that he had heard through other people what went on this call. So now you got this next whistleblower who they are saying has a firsthand account of the entire thing. But, you know, what do you think it would take to flip the Republicans? How much more?
That's the question, right?
Right. How many more, you know, instances like this, a third whistleblower, fourth whistleblower, more text messages released, what would it take to actually get Republicans in the Senate to flip on the president if it did come down to that impeachment?
Let me deconstruct this. I'm sure there are some that are going to stick to their feelings on things. In a representative republic, you elect people that aren't exactly, you elect the person that most thinks like you. Mm. You can't get people 100%. And then they go up there and do the best job. If you don't like the job they're doing, you replace them. But you know, you'd be remiss if you didn't think that the senators and other Republicans up there are looking at their constituents. So instead of saying, hey, it's this many things that'll make the senators switch their opinion, or, you know, other Republicans, it would be how the Americans, how the constituency is. If they see that their constituents start flipping, mm-hmm. different story.
And I'm not sure. I think it would take a lot to get the Republican-backed, you know, politicians, the people that they're representing, seem to be pretty staunchly still in the president's corner.
That's what I'm saying. So that will stand up those senators.
Right.
That will have them stand up.
You had Lindsey Graham also coming out this weekend and calling it a political setup, pretty much saying the same thing that the president was saying on his Twitter page.
Yep. So, and Lindsey had an interesting weekend, Senator Graham. He agreeing with the president on that. Also disagreeing on this northern Syria thing. And I'm waiting for more information. Maybe there's something that we don't yet know. But as it stands, and y'all, if you listen to any period of time, I got a thing for the Kurds. I think they're pretty in that region. They're the people that I want to be aligned with. Problem is, they don't control a country. You know, they have a lot of oil production in Kurdistan, but that's still Iraq. So they don't bring oil to the table. But they have been pretty solid allies, mm-hmm. trustable, solid allies for the United States. And with the United States pulling back and kind of, and here come the Turks, and the Turks and the Kurds are like age-old enemies, that we're kind of leaving them holding the bag. I don't get it. I mean, maybe there's some strategic reason we're doing it. Maybe it's influence of NATO and Turkey. You know, I've often argued that is Turkey our best member of NATO? Do we need to keep them in NATO? So Lindsey Graham coming out and criticizing the president on that. And I got to say, I agree with that. He's standing up for the president on this impeachment thing and criticizing on this troop removal. As much as I don't want our troops all over the planet, once we're there and we're at least backing up somebody like the Kurds, who have been really, look at the history, Google it, folks. The Kurds have stood with us and been solid so many times to what it looks like, abandon them is, I don't like it.
And the Kurdish fighters clearly frustrated with this. They put out a statement over the weekend and said that Washington is failing to abide by its commitments to its key allies.
All right. On the text line, KK says, so at this point, do you think the Republicans would actually vote to impeach, knowing that they are on the heels of election and likely having groomed someone to stand against the incumbent? Yeah, that's... That's interesting. And KK, I agree with you. That's strategic, right? That they wouldn't abandon. But at the same time, I would argue that as long as the constituents of those senators are standing with President Trump, I don't think there'll be a few. I mean, the Mitt Romney thing, that should be expected. There'll be a few of that. But I think the majority of the folks in the Senate are going to look at their constituents and they're not going to vote to remove unless there's more information, something comes out that we don't yet know.
And coming up on an election year, I mean, not just for the president, but for a lot of these other seats, you got to kind of play it by the book even more, because if they do go against the wishes of their constituents, those are the people that put them into office, and those are the same people that could be able to vote them out of office.
All right, grab some calls on this when we get back at 343-0106, 343-0106. We'll talk to you. That works for the text line and the phone line, but love to hear your voice. Remember the website, too, fmtalk1065.com. I'm going to grab a podcast a la carte. They're waiting for you. Also, three big things, top news stories of the day, online opinion polls, show schedules, all that good stuff waiting for you. FMTalk1065.com.
FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings on a Monday. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
How's
everything going?
Oh, we're doing fantastic here at FM Talk 106.5. This morning I want to talk about the used cars that you have out there on the lot at McConnell. What you got going on?
We've got plenty of cars out there now. In fact, the inventory is just about as high as it's ever been. Having a great new car months last month, gave us a lot of trades. We've got diesels, we got cars, less than $5,000, you know, all the way up to $55,000, whatever floats your boat. We got we're gonna do a little deal too. You can give Gene Stuckey or I a call, give us your VIN number and your miles, and we'll give you a price if you want to get rid of your car, not buy nothing. We'll buy it from you. We're trying to acquire more inventory, get that inventory real up high. Also, we got 0% on Yukons. Everybody loves 0%, and that gave us a few trade-ins last month. I think we got 5 or 6 late model used Yukons, Tahoes, low miles. So come on by Dolphin Street and check us out.
Man, you got something for everyone. And just to reiterate, so you'll buy a used car. All someone needs to do is call with that VIN number?
All we need is VIN number and the miles. All of the, you know, this technology out there now, we can see, you know, what's going on with the Carfaxes, what's going on, if it's been serviced and all that. Yeah, just give Gene Stuckey or Louie Arado a call, and we'll take care of it. 476-4141.
That's some good stuff. We appreciate it, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arado. Check him out online, McConnellAutomotive.com, or go see him in person at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, 838. Phone lines open for you at 343-0106. Yeah, President Trump, there's so many tweets. This one from yesterday as well. President said Nancy Pelosi knew of all of the many shifty Adam Schiff lies and massive frauds perpetrated upon Congress and the American people in the form of a fraudulent speech knowingly delivered as a ruthless con and the illegal meetings with a highly partisan whistleblower, that's in quotes, and lawyer. Of course, referring back to that the reading Schiff's dramatization where he added in, you know, a whole bunch of stuff that was not in the actual transcript.
And also the news that came out that that first whistleblower actually went through Schiff before filing that formal complaint.
Who is going to be, he can't be head of this and also a party to it.
You wouldn't think so. You know, this story has so many different branches that are, and you have, I think, to investigate the entire Biden connection to Ukraine, Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, where this originally started. But of course, they need to look at these accusations also surrounding the president. But with Schiff, you know, on Twitter, which I would say 70% of the political commentators on Twitter are very liberal.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get a lot of feedback whenever some of these news items come out. I like to go through the responses under there to see kind of what the talking lines for both sides will be. And when that news came out that Schiff heard from the whistleblower before the first complaint was filed, a lot of people were saying that that's actually standard protocol. And I'm not sure if that's actually true or not.
That's the problem with all this stuff. So many times I go, let's hold on and figure out what the law is, because we're delving into stuff that we don't deal with every day. You know, as I want people to have a good sense of civics, I try to preach that. But there's some things that are intricate enough that it's something you're not going to learn in a basic civics lesson.
And the news cycle cycles so fast that you never seem to have time to go back and find the true information. And it's not sexy enough for that to go up on the main cable news, you know, shows or on the big websites. They don't ever say, okay, this
they
is
never
the
want to
actual
get into detail.
Protocol.
Right, they don't want to get into detail.
It's too boring.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, to the phones and text line, 343-0106. John is in Mobile. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. I think Adam Schiff ought to be brought up on treason charges because he's lying. And I don't know if you saw it, but when Pelosi was on with Stephanopoulos, who, remember, ran the Clinton war room.
I pointed that out many times, yes.
She basically said that the parody that Schiff read out was the truth.
Yeah, what did Pelosi say? She said, let me find the quote here so we get her tweet correctly. I don't have it in front of me, but she said something to the effect of it was okay for him to do that.
The president
it was fair.
Blew their whole narrative up when he released the transcript. And I believe there's going to be, Schiff's got 4, 5, 6, 7 whistleblowers lined up. This, everything that Schiff's doing, it's a lie. And just remember this, whatever the Democrats are accusing Trump of doing, they are guilty of doing. They have already done it. Hillary colluded with the Russians on the
The dossier? Yes.
Biden did a quid pro quo with the Ukrainians. I mean, he just used his own words. It's not like you have to take them out of context. Just play the tape.
There we go. I appreciate the call. We can grab some more calls. And from the text line, too, this texter says, I'm beginning to believe the whistleblower doesn't exist. He reportedly heard about the call, then did his own covert operation, so someone in Trump administration would remember talking to him, and CIA does not divulge officers' names, missions, or locations. Perfect cover.
And, you know, the news that kept coming last week and into the weekend about the number of people that were in on this July 25th call. You know, first they said Rudy Giuliani, then they said Pompeo. I think there were several other names that were listening in. To you, does that point towards the more people that are listening, the less likely it would be that Trump would call for an outright quid pro quo? Or does it mean that more people were in on this, attempt to get Ukraine to investigate before Trump gave that money or whatever? To me, having more people in on the call, I mean, you don't want to, they always say, you know, if you're going to commit a crime, the fewer people that are in on it, the better.
You got to whack.
Right, because there's fewer people that would flip. To me, it sounds like so many people were listening to this call that going into the call, it might not have been intended for that to happen.
I agree. You don't invite all these people in. And if anything, you do that as a measure of security, that if somebody says, oh, well, he said such and such, you can go, hey, y'all, you know, let alone with the transcript.
But on the other side, everyone on the other side thinks that they were all in on the conspiracy. So you have both sides to every story.
All right, to the phones, and James and Foley next. Hey, James.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Doing good, man. What's your take on all this?
Well, I'd like to start this take with the word of the day, probably the word of the millennium when it comes to matters like this.
Okay.
And that is obfuscation.
See, and you can say it. I don't even dare to try to say that.
I had to do it slow, but there it was. So it doesn't matter what the truth is when you're in the midst of political warfare. It's what narrative survives the week.
Yep, that's
true.
If you
continue to say, if you make it a foregone conclusion, the president did something impeachable, you don't need to have the who, the what, the where, the when, and the why. You just got to have that mantra. And everybody hooks up to that wagon, runs with it. Sad truth is that as you peel away the onion, you find that that's just not the case.
It's interesting, the second whistleblower, and I think John intimating maybe there are more, maybe that will help even more than the actual looking into the issue like you're talking about, but maybe the fact that, well, this one didn't work. Oh, yeah, well, we got another one. Well, that one didn't work. Oh, yeah, well, let's try this. I mean, at a certain point, I think Americans roll their
political
eyes.
Political warfare by throwing it against the wall and seeing how long it'll stick.
Yeah, and when you've thrown so much spaghetti against the wall, it looks like a piece of modern art, and it's all fallen off. I think the American people go, okay, come on, this is the latest, you know, flash in the pan.
Jackson Pollock would roll over in his grave.
Nice! I didn't know we'd go there on today's show. We'd talk some art.
Another great meme sent here to the text line by Truck Driver. That's the name he gave us. It's got a picture of Grandma on the front porch on her swing, and it says, the ones doing the accusing are usually the ones doing the doing. An old Southern proverb.
Yes, and much truth in that. One of the things that we're going through here, you mentioned it earlier, is I want Ross Perot to come back, and I want Ross Perot to have a whiteboard. It's like, hey, now listen. Here is what they're allowed to say. Here's what they're not allowed to say. Mm-hmm. Here's who gets to say it. That kind of stuff, I think, is important, because you'll have people that have the information, right, say, oh, well, this is not ever done. And then you look into it, it actually is done.
Yeah.
Then people will say, this is always done. And you'll find out, well, it's not, it's actually not that way.
Yeah, does anyone know if there's one of those books out there, like Impeachment for Dummies? Because I could use that right now.
You know what I feel like a little bit when we started learning about all the Alabama code when it came to that, when we're going through the Bentley saga?
Mm-hmm.
And we kept learning new things. I mean, there were members of the legislature that did not know the procedure. Remember, we had to go through how impeachment and our removal in Alabama would work and all that stuff? Because members of the House were holding press conferences, and they weren't right, because these aren't things we talk about every day.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness. Although, going forward, maybe it is the new normal. All right, grab some more calls when we come back. 343-0106, 343-0106. We'll be right back. Sorry, I was busy responding on the text line. You ever tried to type Smellers fast? Smellers the feller? Smellers the feller.
I've heard that once or twice.
All right, 343-0106, and to the phones, Fred in Mobile is first up. Hey, Fred.
Hey, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm good, man. What's up?
I want to kind of break away from the whistleblower and all that stuff that's going on. It's going to be rehashed now from now to Election Day, but I wanted to talk about us pulling back a lady of a diplomat after she ran over and killed a motorcyclist in England. And I understand the reason why there's diplomatic immunity, but when you have a country that has similar laws, it just floors me that we would take and let somebody leave the scene of an accident. And basically, that's what's happened, is we let this lady leave the scene of this accident and not answer to the family the victim of this, and I'm just really upset about it. We get all bent out of shape when Khashoggi, who was in Turkey, got killed by somebody else in a foreign country. We went nuts, but yet we pulled back the diplomat's wife under diplomatic immunity after she killed somebody in England. I don't understand that.
All right, Fred, I appreciate the call. I've not been in paying attention to the story yet, so I don't have a real comment. Dalton?
Yeah, the story from CBS News is that the wife of a U.S. diplomat based in Britain, as Fred was saying there, pled immunity or is calling for immunity after she, I guess, was in a wrong-way accident with a 19-year-old on a motorcycle. She was on the wrong side of the road, hit the 19-year-old on the motorcycle in a head-on collision, and that motorcyclist was pronounced dead at the hospital. Well, they're now accusing her of using diplomatic immunity to escape justice.
All right, to the phones, and let's go to, thank you, Fred, for the call, Buck in Hurley. What's up, Buck?
Hey, good morning.
Morning, man.
Yeah, trying to make it shine.
That's for sure.
So to answer Fred, I don't know if you've ever noticed, people within the political realm are held to an entirely different standard than you and I are, man. It's unfortunate, but it's the way that it is.
Got that right.
So the liberal quest to impeach Trump from the very day that he was inaugurated, and not just to impeach anybody that believes differently than them, they're out to completely destroy. In the long run, I really feel that that's a mistake. Although I disagree with just about all liberal and socialist policies, there's plenty of good Democrats out there that are still good people, mm-hmm. that just believe differently than you and I, or me anyway.
Yep.
And they know, and they're going to get tired of it. I can't stand thieves or people that are unethical, and there's plenty of Democrats out there that see it, and they won't show up to the polls, I don't believe, to support just such nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that, you know, everybody's like, well, we're still polling Democrats and Republicans. That's fine, I think you're right. Some Democrats may, you know, say one thing but stay home. But I'm also interested in independents, and that's the. Eventually, I think if they take another couple, you know, bring another couple pitchers in off the bench here, and President Trump, you know, goes ahead and hits home runs, then eventually Americans are going to go, come on, what is this? This is the latest flash in the pan.
Sure, and as you know, I identify as an independent. I'm really disappointed in the Republican Party leadership of not standing up and defending President Trump, or standing up and holding the liberal politicians and what we know is crap, and calling it crap, and holding them accountable. I'm not saying completely destroy somebody because they believe differently than you do, but hold somebody accountable at some point in time.
I'm with you, Buck. Well said. Appreciate it. Let's go to Eugene and Daphne. Hey.
Morning, John. How you doing?
Doing good. So, the impeachment talk, what's your take on this?
The big picture is the Attorney General Barr, his investigation. I mean, I read the transcript, and Trump mentioned ground strike, which I think is deep with the Hillary Clinton campaign. And I think Trump is a proud man, and this is a know, the, a major thing in his life that he's accomplished, and he wants to bring all this to light. And I think the Democrats are scared to death that, you know, their queen is going to be taken down.
Well, and also just the way, I think it's good to expose the way business has been done, right? Business in air quotes there.
Exactly. And it's corruption. I mean, what's wrong with the president asking another president of another country to look into corruption, regardless if they're a political opponent or not? If the guy's corrupt, he's corrupted. From what I understand, we have a treaty with Ukraine that states that, you know, each country has to look into political corruption. So Trump is not breaking the law, by no way.
Just you're saying he's holding them to account of the agreement and the treaty.
Exactly, which was signed by Bill Clinton.
There we go. Speaking of impeachment. Eugene, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. We'll pick this conversation back up at midday today. By the way, State Senator Cam Ward gets the cat's out of the bag. He told me on the weekend I was supposed to sit on it, but my buddy Jeff Poore just put up the story. State Senator Cam Ward going to run for Alabama Supreme Court. He's going to join us at 12:15. We'll talk some prison reform issues as well, but talk about his campaign for Alabama Supreme Court.
And just that'll be awesome. Get back to the impeachment thing. Just one last thing really quickly. Axios was reporting, you know, we were talking about what impeachment would do coming up in this election cycle. And I guess the president was on a call with other Republicans over the weekend and said that he actually doesn't want to be impeached because it would look bad on his resume. He feels like he's doing so many good things that would stain.
Of course he doesn't want to be impeached.
But he also said that he believes it'll make Kevin McCarthy, the House leader, because it would do, you know, the opposite for the Democrats' intentions coming up on the campaign. So it seems like he's split right now.
We'll talk about this some more coming up. And also on the Midday Show, a story, I'm going to tweet it here in a second, about a guy down in Florida stumbling upon classic D-Day radio broadcast. This is a news account from D-Day that's been in an attic all these years, and now we'll get to hear it today. More on that coming up at noon today. Mike Gallagher on the way next.